Please rise. Grace, that undeserved love of God toward us sinners, mercy, the pity he has had on us, and peace, which has been won through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, be with each one of you. The word of God which we consider today is recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." This is the very word of God, given by inspiration of his Holy Spirit. And so we pray that the Lord would bless our meditation on his word, that he would sanctify us and set us apart for his own holy purposes. Even so we pray. O Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, the vine of our salvation and the source of every blessing in this world and in the world to come, your fellow redeemed. So how are you when it comes to surprises? Are you the type of person that loves a good surprise, or are you the type of person that likes to be prepared for everything that comes your way and would rather not be surprised by anything? Well, it probably depends on what kind of surprise we're talking about. If this last month you did your taxes and were surprised by the size of the refund you were going to be getting from the federal government, those are the kind of surprises we like. On the other hand, those 3 a.m. phone call surprises we're not very fond of, as we're surprised to hear of something that happened to a family member or a loved one. We typically don't enjoy being surprised by the test results at the doctor's office, because usually it's not good news that we're surprised by. If you do not enjoy such surprises, then rejoice especially in our text today. Our text describes the conditions in the vineyard of the Lord. That is God working in his people and among his people. The working environment of every believing Christian. When it comes to the matters of the kingdom of God and life in his vineyard, there are no surprises. Jesus in our text tells us everything we need to know about life as Christians, abiding in him, the true vine, and in his vineyard. As members of the true vine, we can expect the pruning process. In his vineyard, we are not surprised to hear that those who do not abide in the vine do not bear fruit. However, in Jesus, abiding in the vine, we can expect much fruit. May God bless us and strengthen our faith through his word, that we might bear more fruit to the glory of his name. Have you ever heard of a viticulturist. It's a fancy word that we have today for individuals who take care of vineyards. They're basically a vine dresser. One of the chief jobs of a viticulturist or a vine dresser is to periodically prune vine branches. And there's two important reasons why a vine dresser would do this. First of all, there might be a branch on the vine that isn't producing anything. Just leaves. No grapes, though. Well, what's the point of such a branch? It's merely sapping energy and nutrients from the rest of the vine, depleting them and thus depleting the product. And so, the viticulturist will trim those branches off, cut them off. On the other hand, there are good branches that do bear fruit, but might have an extra little growth, or some type of fungus, which is robbing the branch of nutrients. And in cases like that, the vine dresser will very carefully clean away that unnecessary growth. Vine dressers were doing this thousands of years ago at the time of Jesus in our text, and they're still doing it today. No surprises. How comforting and reassuring it is then to learn that there are no surprises in the care of God's vineyard either. Jesus makes clear, first of all, that we too can expect the pruning process. It should be no surprise. Jesus tells us in the first two verses of our text, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Now, in the Greek here, it talks about cutting in two different ways. And you can see a similarity that doesn't show up very well in our English here. Basically, Jesus says there's two types of cutting going on here. In English, we might say there's cutting off and a cutting away or cutting back. Both activities involve cutting, but for starkly different reasons. The first cutting, the cutting off, or the taking away as our translation has it, is done to unbelievers. Those that, even though they may call themselves Christians, do not produce fruits of faith because their faith is a dead faith. It's not really in Jesus Christ. They associate with him. More on this in a moment. Needless to say, our point right now is that the Father cuts these off because they are dead and do not really belong in his vineyard at all. The other cutting which we want to talk about is a cutting back, a pruning. And this the Father does for the benefit of the branch. It is a fruit-bearing branch that the vine dresser knows could bear even more fruit. And so he prunes. Very carefully, very deliberately, he prunes that branch that it may bear more fruit. God does this to Christians. He prunes us. He cuts us back from time to time. But make no mistake about it, it is cutting. It hurts. The writer to the Hebrews expressed the pruning process in this way. He says, "For whomever the Lord chastens and scourges, every son..." Excuse me, let me start over. "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." This is the pruning process of the Father. It doesn't feel good. It is painful, the writer of the Hebrews says, but it's for our spiritual benefit. He is cutting away some sort of unnecessary growth in our life that is robbing our life from bearing more fruit to the glory of his name. He may prune back your health and your strength. He may cause unforeseen financial hardships to come upon you. He's pruning. It may be any number of things that are beyond your control. He may take something away from you that's very dear to you, but he is pruning for your good. The Father does this that you may bear more fruit. And rather than grumbling about being pruned, this painful process, Jesus would instead have us look for ways to glorify the Father in this pruning process. I can think of a number of elder Christians who question, "Why am I still here? Why am I still around?" And Jesus answers that, doesn't he? "That you may bear more fruit. That you may glorify the Lord even in your old age." Even in your suffering, glorify the Lord as you bear more fruit. Pruning will come, and we will not be surprised about it because Jesus said, the Father will do it. In our text, we find another word of comfort from our Savior about this cleansing process. In verse 3, we read, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Already, right now, as believers in Christ, Jesus says, you are clean because of my word. His word has worked in your heart and created faith in Jesus as your Savior. Jesus, our Savior, through his death on the cross, has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and he has cut away the filthy growth of sin that was growing like a fungus all over us. Through the washing of the water with the word in holy baptism, he has sanctified and cleansed you. You're already clean, Jesus says, because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, all this discussion about fruit and bearing fruit, what exactly are we talking about? What exactly does Jesus mean? Well, consider why a vineyard owner plants a grapevine. What's his purpose? Does he want a pretty plant growing on his property? Probably not. Grapevines are not the most attractive plants in the world. Even when they're flowering, they're not the most beautiful plant in the field. There is one reason someone plants a grapevine, and that is for fruit. Grapes, the fruit of the vine. Likewise with us. The fruit Jesus is talking about in our text are the fruits of faith. They are the byproduct of being in the vine, being in Jesus Christ. They are the good works that follow faith. They are things that are pleasing to God. Love for God, as we heard in our epistle lesson earlier. It follows faith. Love for our neighbor follows faith. Gladly hearing and learning his word, honoring our father and mother, loving our neighbor as ourselves, praying for those in authority over us, being a cheerful giver. All these things are pleasing in God's sight. And they are fruit of being in the vine, Jesus Christ. Well, when it comes to the vineyard, it comes as no surprise to us what Jesus said about those who do not abide in him. A branch by itself is unable to bear fruit by itself. It's just a branch whose only use is kindling in a fire. Jesus says the same about our Father's vineyard. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a vine dresser finds a branch from his vine, his grapevine on the ground, what is he going to do with it? Is he going to watch it and see if it bears fruit? Jesus continues, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Again, no surprises. No surprises here to us that if we stay away from God's word, if we stay away from the sacrament, what's going to happen? That faith that needs those essential nutrients from the vine are going to wither, be starved to death, and not going to produce any faith. That's what Jesus is saying. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. And this comes to us as no surprise. But in Jesus, we expect the exact opposite. It comes to no surprise to us that those who abide in Jesus can expect much fruit. Again, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Sometimes the older the vine is, the more fruitful they are. For instance, in Hampton Court near London, there is a vine that was planted in 1769, a grapevine older than our nation itself. And this grapevine is referred to as the Great Vine. It's now 12 feet around at the base, and its longest branch is over 120 feet. And though this vine is nearly 250 years old, it still continues to produce a bountiful harvest. In recent years, it yielded nearly a half ton of grapes. So what's the secret? Well, the head gardener at Hampton Court Palace attributed it to careful pruning over the years, as well as a healthy flow of nutrients to the branches from the vine. We are not much different, are we? Through the careful pruning process of the Father, and by abiding in Jesus, the vine, we receive the essential nutrients our faith needs. When we abide in Jesus, and He abides in us, Jesus says that we will bear much fruit. Well, what does Jesus mean by abiding in Him? He explains in the last two verses of our text. He says, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples." Abiding in Jesus means hearing and learning His word, listening to it. And when Jesus' word abides in us, He says that we receive the essential nutrients that our faith needs. The Holy Spirit is actively feeding our faith with the precious life-giving and life-sustaining gospel. Our faith is strengthened as God the Father demonstrates His love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Abiding in Jesus, our souls are comforted and strengthened as we hear that He atoned for us through His death on the cross. We are nourished as we hear that Jesus rose from the dead and gives us the victory over sin, death, and hell itself. And through His resurrection, God has pronounced us not guilty in His sight. This word of Jesus, as we abide in it, our faith is strengthened. We are nourished. And the direct result is that we will bear fruits of faith. We will do those things that are pleasing to our Father, and in accordance with His will. This is what Jesus the vine does. He supplies all we need for this life and for the life to come. Through His word and through His sacrament, He works in us and through us to bear much fruit. God has so promised thus, "So shall My word be that goes forth from My mouth. It shall not return to Me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Abiding in Jesus, we will bear much fruit. And in this way, Jesus says, you glorify the Father, and you show yourselves to be Jesus' disciple. Hudson Taylor, who was a British missionary to China, I believe, in the 18th century, he once said about this passage, "The branch of the vine does not worry and toil and rush here to seek for sunshine and there to find rain. No, it rests in union and communion with the vine. At just the right time and in just the right way, there is the right fruit found on it. Let us so abide in the Lord Jesus." Yes, let us abide in the vine. Every day, take advantage of the life-giving nutrients He supplies in His word. Here in God's vineyard, there are no surprises. There will be pruning. It will be difficult, but it's for our benefit and to the glory of God. We certainly expect no fruit apart from Christ, but in Christ, as branches attached to His life-giving vine, we expect much fruit. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed His blood for me. Died that I might live on high, lived that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am His and He is mine. All glory be to God. Amen.